Israel has just carried out one of the most sophisticated cyber attacks that the world has ever witnessed. I'm going to talk about that today, but I'm also going to show you another side to this. This should be very alarming to you. So let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? It is Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We've got a lot to cover tonight. We're going to be going to the Middle East and tonight's topic. We're going to be covering some stuff that's coming out of the Middle East in regards to Israel, and also some things that's coming out of Saudi Arabia that we want to bring to your attention. Before we get started tonight, can you do me a favor? Help us get the word out, spread this word, spread this message, get the podcast out there and get some eyes on it. You can help us do that real quick by simply smashing that like button. And listen, you can take it a step further if you'd like to keep up with our content. Don't miss a single podcast on YouTube, on Rumble. That's where we typically broadcast from. You can simply do that by simply smashing that bell notification. Hit the subscribe button. That's going to help you keep up with this as well. Keep up with our ministry and our platform. And you can take it a step further. Download our free app. You can get everything right at your fingertips, and it's simple to do. You just go to your Play Store, depending on what that looks like for you, Apple, Android. Go to your Play Store, type in End Time Headlines if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, and you're going to see our official ETH logo come up, our trademark logo. Download our app, hit yes to push notifications. For you guys that are watching the visual of this, if you'll simply go under the description of this video, there's going to be a link that says download our free app. Click on that link, and everything's going to be right at your fingertips. All right, it's not much of a secret, guys, that we know that Israel is on the cutting edge of military technology, much of which, again, comes out of Israel. We know that it is the IDF, or what we know, that's an acronym for the Israeli Defense Forces, is widely regarded as one of the most advanced and sophisticated militaries in the world. Despite the fact that they're such a small country surrounded by so many other Islamic nations, they have invested for years in military technology, intelligence, and defense capabilities due to its strategic challenges and its security needs. For example, I want to show you some of their technological innovations or their advancements. You have what's known as the Iron Dome. This highly effective air defense system was created by Israel to intercept and destroy short-range rockets and artillery shells. You see this all the time. This is implemented to protect Israeli citizens from missile attacks that come in from Hamas and Hezbollah and other surrounding factions. Then you have what's called David's Sling, Arrow 2 and Arrow 3. These are sophisticated systems. They're also part of Israel's multi-layered missile defense network. These are all designed to intercept medium and long-range missile ballistics, including those from Iran. Remember all those? Remember when Israel retaliated against Iran, when Iran launched that attack against them? When Iran launched that attack against Israel, you saw these come into play. Iron Dome, the David Sling, Arrow 2, Arrow 3, and then you have the drone technology. And Israel is one of the top leaders of the development of this and deploys most of these unmanned aerial vehicles that are used for both reconnaissance and combat missions. And then brings us to cyber warfare. Israel has developed some of the most sophisticated cyber capabilities, both for defensive and offensive measures. It is considered one of the top nations in cyber warfare and intelligence operations. And what we just witnessed over the past 24 to 48 hours is cyber warfare. But what we saw take place has not been seen and has left the world shocked. And I'm talking about the attack that was carried out by Israel, wherein which thousands and thousands of pagers exploded in the pockets and hands of Hezbollah affiliates across multiple locations across Lebanon. All right, let me give you, we're going to watch this video together. Let's get up to par. And again, this was 24 hours ago. We've got greater developments in this, but I'm going to take you back 24 hours ago, get you up to par on what has taken place.
We've never seen this kind of a brilliant strategic move like this in history. What are the people of Israel saying about it?
Well, the Israelis are rather proud of their Mossad. Of course, the Mossad hasn't confirmed that they were part of this attack. People on the other side of the border are rather outraged. The Lebanese health ministry now says that the death toll from this pager attack has risen to 12, and they say it includes two children. Around 3,000 people were injured after yesterday afternoon. Pagers started exploding all over Lebanon. They exploded, we know now, in Syria as well. The pagers beat before they went off.
So again, this is in Lebanon and Syria.
As a result, a lot of the injuries are to the hands and fingers of the people who reach for their pagers. Injuries are to the eyes and faces of people who looked at their pagers. And of course, there are injuries to the waist and
I'm going to stop right here. Emir, who he's very good in intelligence with Israel and stuff. And we share a lot of his content on our Telegram channel. He's reported over 500 people are completely blind from this attack that was carried out by Israel.
Pocket area where most people would carry their pagers. Now, according to reports, it was Hezbollah chief Hassan Nasrallah himself who ordered the use of pagers because he thought it was too easy for Israel to track or hack into smartphones. Security experts say the explosion.
Well, hold on now. Again, this is one of the things I saw in the comments. Who still uses pagers? And that's a legitimate question because I remember pagers back in the 90s. Y'all remember that? We used to have pagers. And I hated these things. People would page you, or you would page them. And then you had to, well, man, it's been so long, I can't even remember this. So you'd get a page, and then you'd call that individual back. So you'd see the phone number from the page. So you would then you would have to call them back. And it was inevitable. Your pager would blow up. You would try to call them back. They wouldn't answer the phone. Then they're paging you back. It was a complete mess. So this is why he just told you why they use pagers and why they still exist, at least in these locations in the Middle East.
Explosions were more powerful than just a battery. So at some point, the pagers were sabotaged and explosive charges, as well as switches, were installed on each device.
Okay, let's explain that. Here is the explanation for that. This is from The Sun. According to this report, Israel actually hid bombs and Hezbollah pagers at a factory. And again, and they sent them a, quote, sended code message. Let's read a little bit about this. According to this official report, Israeli spies planted these explosives in thousands of these pagers, again, that were distributed to Hezbollah before detonating them by sending a coded message. According to this report, the pagers had been ordered after the group's leader ordered members to stop using phones back in February over fears they could be tracked by Israeli spies. But once again, Israel was one step ahead of them. They claimed the devices had been modified by Israel's spy service at the production level. So here is, for you guys that are watching the visual of this, here is an illustration. Israel is believed, again, to be behind the attack. We know that they were now. The Mossad was behind this. So first, Hezbollah buys thousands of pagers. That's the graphic one. Number two, these agents intercept the pagers at the factory or in transit. Wow. Number three, then these explosives are planted. Up to 20 grams of explosives is planted in the devices that are sold. That's in graphic number three. Number four, they sabotage these pagers, the sabotage pagers are then handed out or they're distributed. Then you go down here, number five, then a coded message is sent by Israel, obviously the military, to each one of these pagers, and as a result of the coded message, it triggers the explosives and the pagers buzz. Then it triggers this explosion, and this is what was carried out. Again, the report says the Mossad injected a board inside of the device that has explosive material that receives a code. Quote, it's very hard to detect it through any means, even with any device or scanner. I want to highlight this right here. And there's a reason for this, because once we're going to get through a little bit of this initial report, then at the end of this report, I'm going to give you a view that may not be talked about, because I've not heard this talked about by any mainstream media and even podcasters that I have personally listened to. Nobody is covering what I want to share with you at the end of this, but there's a reason why I highlighted this. I want to read this again. Quote, it's very hard to detect these explosives through any means, even with any device or scanner. And again, over 3,000 of these pagers exploded when a coded message was sent to them directly, simultaneously activating the explosives. The source identified a photograph of the model of the pager, which was an AP-924, which, like other pagers, wirelessly received and displayed text messages but cannot make telephone calls. Now, I found this interesting. The plot appeared to have been in the making for months. Now, according to this report, Taiwan-based company Gold Apollo said the pagers were manufactured by BAC Consulting KFT, based in Budapest, which is licensed to use the firm's brand. Speaking outside the company's offices in New Taipei, Gold Apollo founder said the pagers using these explosions were made by a company in Europe. Quote, the product was not ours. It was only that it had our brand on it. And then according to a statement from this company, according to the agreement, we authorized BAC to use our brand trademark for production sales in specific regions, but the design and manufacturing of the products are entirely handled by BAC. While BAC confirmed to NBC it works for Gold Apollo, consulting chief executive denied any link to the pagers. Quote, I don't make the pagers. I'm just the intermediate. I think you got it wrong, she said, causing further confusion about where the pagers came from. According to Hezbollah sources, the pagers were, quote, brand new and had not been used by fighters before. Now, let's go back to this initial report.
The pagers were a Taiwanese brand, Gold Apollo, but the chairman of that company says they licensed the name to a company out of Europe called BAC, who made the pagers. I reached out to BAC, no response. The Associated Press is reporting that BAC is starting to look like a shell company. The U.S. says they had no heads-up warning about the attack.
I can tell you that the U.S. was not involved in it. The U.S. was not aware of this incident in advance, and at this point, we're gathering information.
Hezbollah blames Israel for the pager attack with a statement that reads, in part, the treacherous and criminal enemy will surely receive his just retribution for the sinful aggression from where it counts and from where it doesn't count.
Okay, so now we know there's an official statement from Hezbollah vowing to, quote, punish Israel for exploding pagers.
The north of Israel remains on high alert now for retaliation from Hezbollah. Israeli media is reporting that paratroopers from the elite 98th Division have left Gaza and are redeploying to the north of Israel. More than 60,000 Israelis have already evacuated from the north as rockets and drones are fired almost every day. And Israel, predictably, is not saying anything about the pager attack. Guys?
And Mike Tobin, of course, Israel's not saying anything, but we presume it was Israel. It just goes to show you that they were able to coordinate this so well somewhere between where the pagers left a warehouse and before it wound up at Hezbollah HQ.
And guys, it wasn't just pagers. We now know that it wasn't just pagers that were explosives were planted in. But now, according to reports, handheld radios were also used, and these have detonated. Now, this is as of today, this report, September 18th, handheld radios have now been detonated across Lebanon. According to reports, handheld radios used by Hezbollah detonated late on Wednesday afternoon across Lebanon south in Beirut's southern suburbs. A security source and a witness has said further hiking tensions with Israel a day after similar explosions launched via the group's pagers. Look at this. The handheld radios were purchased by Hezbollah 5 months ago, around the same time that the pagers were bought. So we have to ask ourselves, so we have the pagers, and now we have the handheld radios. What else has Israel done that we have just not seen come to fruition yet? This was all 5 months ago that they planted these explosives. They planned this in advance. So it makes you wonder what's going to happen the days ahead. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen this weekend? This is very intriguing. Again, multiple sources said this is something that the world has never witnessed. This was an interesting piece from Michael Snyder. The existential war that is rapidly escalating in the Middle East will be far more horrible than most people would even dare to imagine. Snyder points out that what most people are not willing to admit is that Israel and Hezbollah is already at war. It's just a limited war for now, but it's only a matter of time before it continues to escalate into an all-out war that, as a result, there will be vast numbers of fatalities on both sides. It doesn't take much of an imagination to figure out how this is going to end. When there is an existential conflict that involves two parties which absolutely refuse to back down, only one party is ultimately going to survive. Unfortunately, most people have absolutely no clue what is coming. Now, it appears by multiple reports that the Israeli Defense Forces will soon conduct a, quote, major military operation in southern Lebanon. So all this is doing is just, they're striking their enemy beforehand. But Israel has for months warned that it could launch a military operation to drive Hezbollah away from its border. A former Israeli national security official said in a call with reporters that the Patriot attack had signaled that Israel is about to change its Gaza war strategy, where it has been fighting Hamas for almost a year, and move its main front to north to fight Hezbollah. Other reports indicate that Israel could initiate such an offensive before the U.S. presidential election in November, if such a all-out war was to break loose between Israel and Hezbollah. This will absolutely disrupt U.S. elections because it will put pressure on the Harris administration. The Biden and Harris administration. Who knows who's running this country? It's a complete clown show, but it'll put pressure on them. And even with thousands of votes from Muslims in places like Michigan and other swing states, how are they going to handle this? What's this going to look like? And remember, Iran has been arming these factions for years throughout the region. The Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, all these factions for years. And now even Erdogan has come out from Turkey and has warned, or he's calling for Islamic nations to come together in a joint effort to, again, wipe Israel off the face of the earth. All right, since we're talking about this, let me interject some personal commentary here on this. When I first read this story, when I first saw this, there was two trains of thought that I had immediately. One is, let's go back to the initial report here. So here we have Israel, their Mossad, whoever was involved, the government itself in Israel, or whoever it is, that carried this out, this highly sophisticated cyber attack against Hezbollah, wherein which these individuals intercepted, whether it's at the warehouse or in transit or both, these devices, which now we know is pagers and handheld radios. And again, what's next? Cell phones? I don't know. We could see. We don't know. As of the recording of this, so far, again, pagers, handheld radios, all intercepted, and these explosive devices planted in these devices or in these this equipment. And again, and I'm quoting from this article, it was so sophisticated that it couldn't even be detected. And these were detonated by a code that was sent out by whoever, the Israeli government likely, sent out a mass code on all these devices, and they exploded, resulting in deaths and injuries. Now, on one hand, you may say, And again, I'm looking at these reports. Some news outlets like Fox News, I saw that they had a headline that said Israel degrades Iran-backed Hezbollah terrorists in the most brilliant move. They're calling this a, quote, brilliant move. Now, again, on one hand, you could say this was a brilliant operation carried out by Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, let me throw a different angle at you. In this case, most will applaud and celebrate this because it was carried out against a known terrorist organization. But can I throw another angle at you? This is very alarming, and here's why. Who is to say, let's take a journey in the future. Now, if you watched yesterday's podcast, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There's coming in the future a kingdom, Revelation 13, we call it the kingdom of the beast, that will be ruled and reigned by the Antichrist and the false prophet, wherein which, again, they will control the masses through a system of buying, selling, and trading. Could you imagine this regime, the Antichrist's regime, having access to this type of intelligence, this type of sophisticated weaponry, wherein which, watch this, that the Antichrist could order a people in his cabinet that are highly sophisticated, has the skills to carry out such an operation, and put these devices, these explosive devices, in cell phones, smartphones that you and I purchase, that we use every day. Could you not see how this could be a complete nightmare scenario if this type of technology fell into sinister hands? Am I the only one that's thought about this? Let me know in the comment section below what you think about this. In the chat, on YouTube, on Rumble, this is something that this is my train of thought. I thought about my Lord. Could you imagine if this fell into the wrong hands, into sinister hands, under a tyrannical government such as what we see in Revelation 13 that's coming, and they were to order such an attack to take place? Now, why would they order such an attack to take place? Well, again, I know this is going to be an interesting train of thought. But when I read Revelation chapter 16, verses 2 and 11, did you know that the Bible talks about during the tribulation that there will be, and I quote, a foul and loathsome sore that will come upon men who take the mark of the beast? Okay, stop for a second. Again, a foul and loathsome sore. Now, what's interesting about this is when you look this up in the Greek, when you look up this phrase, this foul and loathsome sore, it alludes to a cancerous type of sore or blister that will form. Now, this has puzzled me because, again, I've heard different commentaries on this. Some have speculated that whatever it is that humanity will be forced to put in their right hand or in their forehead, whatever this technology is, that it will have the ability to, it could have the ability to malfunction, or it could be sabotaged. Let me say that again. Revelation 13. The Bible says the false prophet will require all on the earth, rich, poor, free, slave, bond, all men and women, boys and girls across the planet will be forced to put something in their right hand or in their foreheads. And with this, they will be able to buy, sell, and trade. I've heard some commentaries, and I've heard just talks and discussions around table talk and discussions. I've heard podcasts, and we've all, and all these teachers of eschatology, scholars, theologians, have all speculated on what this could be. Again, if you go back to the Greek, it indicates that it's a loathsome sore is almost like a type of skin cancer, a blister, a sore, a scab that will form on these individuals in the tribulation that take the mark of the beast and worship the image. In Revelation 16:11, it says that those individuals will also blaspheme the God of heaven because of the pains and their sores, and they will not repent of their deeds. And again, I'm only proposing this question today. Is this a plague, like a bubonic type of plague, which creates these sores that God distinctly marks people who take the mark, and they develop this supernatural physical boil, or this like sore that comes on them? Or could it be that these individuals who took the mark of the beast realize what they've done? Because you do know, guys, that the gospel will still be preached during the tribulation. Now, it's my personal opinion that the church will be gone. We'll be taken up in the rapture, because I am one that holds to a pre-tribulation rapture. And here goes the chat. I know we're going to lose the chat because I said that, because people start arguing pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. But please focus and listen to what I'm saying. I believe the church will be gone, and that will leave people that will be saved in the tribulation. The two witnesses will come. I believe it's Elijah and Enoch. You may believe it's Elijah and Moses. Again, here comes another debate, and we'll probably lose everybody in the chat over that. People debate all kinds of stuff, and it's okay. But again, these are not salvation issues here. But regardless, the two witnesses will come and preach the gospel for 42 months. And in the opening of the tribulation, they will be slayed by the Antichrist. Read it, Revelation 11. But then you got 144,000 Jews that will be marked with the seal of God on their foreheads, and they will come and preach the gospel to predominantly Jews in Israel, because the predominant makeover of the Gentiles will be gone. And I'm not talking about all the Gentiles of the earth. I'm talking about the Gentiles in the church. I don't have time to go into this. Romans 11 talks about when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Then God shifts his focus back to Israel, to the Jews, that all Israel may be saved. So the point I'm trying to make is, whoever these individuals are, when you get to Revelation 16, which is right when you're beginning to go, you're beyond mid-trib, because Revelation 13 is mid-trib. That's when the image of the beast, that's when the mark of the beast is issued. So now we're three chapters in. We're in Revelation 16 on the chronological order of events. Humanity has already taken the mark of the beast. And now, because of this, these bold judgments are being released from God. This is the judgment and the wrath of God being poured out. And in Revelation 16, verses 2 and 11, it specifies that there'll be one particular group of individuals that will develop these sores on their body, and the Bible calls them a foul and loathsome sore, and it will be so painful and so grievous that they'll be blaspheming the God of heaven because of the pain that's associated with it. And again, is this a type of plague, like a sore that develops supernaturally? Or, watch this, has these individuals, whoever they are in the tribulation, realized that they are now damned for eternity? Because you do realize the Bible says that if any man takes the mark of the beast, he is damned for eternity. He cannot be saved. He cannot be redeemed. He cannot repent. Once he takes the mark of the beast, he has pledged his allegiance to Satan, and he's lost for eternity. Could it be possible that these individuals, for whatever reason, they come to this understanding that whatever this is that they've put in their body through their right hand and their forehead, that they've now lost their souls, and they are feverishly, watch this, trying to remove this device or whatever this is out of their forehead or their right hand. So they've got, guys, bear with me. I know the Bible doesn't say this, But I'm throwing out an hypothesis here, okay? Come on, this is my podcast. I'm just going to share what's in my heart. Maybe they've got a knife or whatever. They're trying to get this device out of their hand or their forehead. And in the process of doing this, they damage this. It may be the battery in it, if it's battery operated, like a lithium battery or whatever, and it leaks and it causes this sore, or they begin to try to tamper with this. It alerts the government that implemented it, which is controlled by the Antichrist, and it detonates these things and it causes these grievous sores. I know it's crazy. Nobody's ever probably heard this, but I read these things and I think about this stuff. So number one, this is very alarming to me personally, that any government, whether it's Israel, whether it's America, whoever, has this type of technology that they can sabotage our smartphones. Because come on, let's get real here. Who has pagers? Unless you work in the medical field in a hospital somewhere, I don't really know anybody that still uses pagers. So we're going to, for sake of where we are in society now, let's just say smartphones, because everybody's got a smartphone. Who's to say that your smartphone that you buy from your Android manufacturer, Samsung, whatever, I don't even know the Google, I don't even know all the manufacturers of Android, because I have an Apple phone, or you buy it from Apple. Imagine a regime, a government in power that could intercept your phone in the department, manufactured in China or South Korea or wherever these are manufactured, or in transit. And that's what we're talking about here. And then it gets into the wrong hands and we're in deep trouble. Could anybody else see this? So you got that aspect, and then again, the Revelation 16 thing, just it makes me think. That's what we're talking about today. I'm hoping this makes you think about this stuff. So this is some major developments in the Middle East, guys. And not to mention, I thought about this too. Although the Bible does not directly mention biological warfare, nuclear warfare, and we know the Bible was written long before modern technology even existed, many believers read certain passages in the Bible. For example, we're talking about Revelation, but you can read portions of Ezekiel and Zechariah where, guys, it looks like it describes such an event. Let me show you what I'm talking about here. For example, Revelation 8. 7 through 12, the first angel sounded, look at this, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And as a result of this, the Bible says a third of the trees were burned up and all the green grass was burned up. Okay, so in this passage, many has believed that this could allude to some type of nuclear attack that will take place again during the tribulation. Then you have this passage in Zechariah 14, verse 12. And look what it says here. And this shall be the plague in which the Lord will strike all the people who fight against Jerusalem. Now look at the description of this. Quote, their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Wow. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. Now, guys, do you realize that Israel possesses bombs like neutron bombs and certain bombs that can actually fulfill this prophecy? It can actually fulfill this prophecy. And this is why many scholars believe that the reason why Damascus, Syria is completely missing from the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war of Gog and Magog war, this is a prophetic war that has not happened yet, is because this type of weapons could very well be used against Damascus in the future and fulfill Isaiah 17, where it says that Syria will be left a ruinous heap. But don't miss it. Zacharias foresaw, he saw in the future where Israel would possess. Now, you got to remember, guys, the verbiage that these prophets used. This was written over 2,000 years ago. There were no modern weapons. There were no nuclear weapons. There was no cyber weapons, biological weapons, chemical weapons. So to the prophet, he said, I look and foresaw enemies of Israel being wiped out while they're standing on their feet. And it to me, it looked like a plague was striking them, melting their eyes and their tongues and their socket and their mouths while they stood on their feet. Then you have, speaking of Ezekiel 38:39, here, there is, even in there, it gives you these depictions of fire and brimstone. Now, some say, well, this is going to be a volcanic eruption. But again, it could be, very well, could be nuclear weapons involved in that war. The point I'm trying to express here, guys, is that everything we're seeing here is so prophetic. It is so alarming. It's so prophetic on one hand. On one hand, it's alarming, but on the other hand, it's absolutely prophetic. And I believe it. These are stepping stones leading up to complete Bible prophecy and things that these prophets have told us. Now, this was interesting. Again, we're still in the Middle East. Look at this headline from Reuters. Saudi Arabia will not recognize Israel without a Palestinian state. Whoa, this is coming from the crown prince. Let's check this out. Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia on Wednesday said the kingdom would, quote, not recognize Israel without a Palestinian state and strongly condemn the crimes of the Israeli occupation against the Palestinian people. Look at the verbiage he's using. Quote, the kingdom will not stop its tireless work towards the establishment of an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. I want to highlight that again. Again, Mohammed bin Salman said the kingdom will not stop its tireless work towards the establishment of an independent Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. Hello, Joel chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 12. And quote, we affirm that the kingdom will not establish diplomatic relations with Israel without that. Here is this. Again, we've talked about it. We've warned about it. There will be a collective unified effort of nations of the world, according to the prophet Zechariah, that will come together and try to force Israel into dividing their land. And Joel said in Joel chapter 3, as a result of this, they will be brought into judgment. And you read that in Joel chapter 3. Let me pull it up. The prophet said that the Lord will gather all nations. I'm in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Guys, this is Armageddon mentioned in Revelation. He will gather all nations, bring them to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and enter into judgment with them on the account of Israel, whom they, again, these are the nations of the world, have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. So God is saying, as a result, in the future. So guys, this is telling us this is going to happen. So when I read this article, let me pull it back up. This doesn't surprise me because this has been foretold. All nations, including America, will turn their back against Israel. Eventually, it's going to happen. I don't care if it's Trump in office. I don't care if it's Harris in office or whomever in the future, however long God has us here. And according to his sovereign will, that we still remain as things go and we don't enter into the tribulation. This is going to happen. This report goes on to say that Saudi Arabia completely halted their plans for the kingdom to normalize ties with Israel following the October war that took place again, or the attack, the terrorist attack took place in Israel. Two sources familiar with this whole situation said earlier this year, in a swift reordering of its diplomatic priorities, Saudi Arabia now, again, is making it plain that Saudi Arabia, again, will not recognize the nation of Israel without the establishment of a Palestinian state, and again, I quote, with East Jerusalem as its capital. Now, I got one last thing that I want to talk about before we close this podcast, because I really don't want to do a whole podcast on just this particular topic, so I'm just going to throw, this is a bonus. I'm going to throw this in at the end. This is, you've had your main course, now I'm going to throw in the dessert for you for free. We're not going to charge you for it. It's free. It's on us. I believe there is going to be, because we're in an election cycle, you've heard me say this so many times, guys, I'm blue in the face. We're in election season, and spiritual warfare, demonic activity, Ephesians 6:12 through 14, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts in wicked places, all these things are happening, and it's intensifying, it's increasing. I believe it's going to get stranger, more bizarre, more weird, and more extreme as we get closer to the elections. Just today, we had yet another incident. Did y'all see this? I know most of you did, but if you didn't, let me get you up to date on this. Earlier today, there were reports that there was a bomb that was found in a vehicle parked outside of Long Island, New York, at a Trump rally that's scheduled for tonight. 60,000 people in attendance is supposed to be there at this rally. And New York police discovered, again, I quote, a bomb was discovered, an explosive device in a vehicle. This, we reported on this. This went all over the news, but then it was quickly dissolved, or I should say defused, no pun intended. And here's why. Quote, police say suspect with self-trained bomb detecting dog sparked a false reports of explosive found in a car near Trump's Long Island rally. Again, police went out to say that there is no threat to former President Donald Trump's rally site on Long Island after, quote, explosives were reported found in a car near the site. What? A spokesman for the Nassau County Police Department confirmed to DailyMail.com that there was a, quote, suspicious occurrence on Wednesday ahead of Trump's speech where thousands of MAGA fans are gathering. But there is no, quote, validity to report that there was an explosive device found. Reports of explosives, plural tense, being found at the site are, quote, unfounded. This is according to the police commissioner of police. He went on to blame a suspect with a, quote, self-trained bomb-detecting dog for sounding the alarm about explosives near the rally site. Okay, stop. Am I the only one that thinks that this smells like a load? This smells like a big load. Let's talk about this logically. Who thought it would be a good idea for a training exercise involving a bomb sniffing dog that would detect explosives to be carried out at outside of a Trump rally with 60,000 coming in attendance only a day after, or 2 days after, days after, whatever, that there was a second attempt on former President Trump's life? Does anybody think that this is absolutely ridiculous? Do you really believe this narrative? Is this, who knows anymore? Who knows what is real, what is true, and what is not? But I just think that this sounds so ridiculous. It's hard to believe that people could be this stupid. But then again, I mean, we are living in 2024. So let me know what your thoughts on this, guys, in the comments below, in the chat, on Rumble, or wherever you're listening to this. To me, this sounds just so crazy. And do you believe the official narrative? Do you believe the police commissioner? Was this that? And they're just trying to silence all this and say, no, this is not a threat. Or did they really find something? Will we really know? Because, I mean, after all, it's one thing, the FBI is starting to look really bad. Secret Service is starting to look really bad. And now this is on the watch of the police in New York. So again, I don't know. I don't know what to believe. It's hard for me to believe anything anymore because I know it's, I've also got, I can pull out my tinfoil hat right here in my drawer as well. And, I don't like to wear it all the time, but it's getting more and more comfortable on my head. But I just can't help it. They laughed to scorn all the quote unquote conspiracy theorists in the last 4 years. But I think a lot of them has been justified. And a lot of the quote unquote conspiracies have turned out to be actually true. I'm just saying. So we've got a lot, guys. And again, I know this is a lot to pray about. Continually pray every Monday night. I want to put this up here, let you guys know. Listen, every Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, we come together as a corporate prayer live right here on YouTube. And we pray for situations like this. We pray for our nation's leaders. We pray for our country. We pray for your country. We pray for our safety and our children, our family. We pray every Monday night, again, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube. If you're listening on any other platform outside of YouTube, you need to get over here. You need to subscribe. And you say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't like YouTube. Listen, we want you to be a part of our online community. This is why we don't share. We don't post anymore. Hardly ever do we broadcast this stuff on Facebook because I don't want us divided. I want us to come together in one central location so that we can hear these podcasts. We can come together and have these talking conversation, talking points and prayer meetings and so on and so forth. So again, if you're listening by Apple, listen by Spotify, Rumble, wherever you get our messages and podcasts from, come over here, subscribe to our channel, hit that bell notification. And then on Monday night, when we stream live, you can join into our community, or when we do these podcasts, you can come in and be a part of the community. So listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, be sure to pick up your free app today. Get it on your Apple or Android device by going to your Play Store. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be squared away with every headline, every podcast right there available at your fingertips. And at this time, we want to give you the opportunity to honor the Lord. And again, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, for some of you, you can honor the Lord with your tithe, your offering, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner of our ministry. If this ministry feeds you, it equips you, it edifies you, it informs you. Listen, if you're just joining us and this is your first time, or maybe this is the second time, third time you've come in, listen, we do more than just inform you. We don't just talk about news and headlines. We equip, you can ask some of the people in the chat. We have straight up church up in here. We believe in exhortation. We believe in equipping. We believe in edifying. So we do it all. I believe the church should be well-rounded in information, revelation, and transformation. And this is why we try to be a blessing in all these areas. And if this ministry blesses you in any of these areas or all these areas, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. Right on your screen, you can give by your app, by our free app that we give you. Just go to the app, go down where it says donate, click there, or you can go to the main website and you can click on support the ministry or donate. Right there, you can click and you can give electronically by whatever means is good for you. There's multiple different ways you can give there, or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So listen, we love you guys. We're going to continue to pray for Trump, continue to pray for our current leadership, pray about these elections, pray about the Middle East, pray about all these things. Again, you say, well, Brother Ricky, why don't you pray right now? Because we pray about these things on Monday nights. We dedicate those prayer services to these events. So I want to, if I take that much time doing this, guys, this podcast will go on for an hour and 15, 20, an hour and 30 minutes. So we want to make it straight to the point. We want to inform you, equip you. And this is not really an equipping per se message, more as it is information. Now, if we were doing a message where we're ministering to your spirit, where people are getting delivered and set free and healed and equipped, then yes, we would dedicate some time to pray for that. But I know you guys understand that. And listen, I want to leave you with always, as Luke 21:28 said, Jesus said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, to keep your heads lifted up and look up, because your redemption is drawing near. So we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for hopping on tonight. We're going to sign off. We'll be, Lord willing, we'll be right back here tomorrow night, Thursday, September 19th, 7 p.m. Central and 8 p.m. Eastern with another great podcast. Until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.